the fight begin.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to It's Real to Us, the Wrestling Podcast. What's going on, you guys? Get on in here for the latest and greatest episode of It's Real to Us, the Wrestling Podcast. And boy, do we have a good one today, because WrestleMania 40 was this weekend and we are going to talk about it all. And when I say we, I'm talking, of course, about Nate Diggity Dog.
Woof woof, what's up, guys?
And Tony the Father.
What's going on, everyone?
How this episode is going to work is we created a consensus ranking. And from there, we are going to go through and talk about every single match from our least favorite to our favorite. The panel consists of the three men we have in this room and Tiny Mike. So if you don't like our opinions,
too bad.
Where is Tiny Mike? Oh, he's away at school this week.
Oh, he had to go to school.
Going to be a physical therapist, Nate. What do you do?
Nothing. I'm a banker.
Thank you. Thank you.
So we're going to go through every single match, tell you what we like, what we didn't like. Does it sound good, guys?
Yeah, sounds great.
Sounds like a winner.
All right, Nate, say something funny.
What the hell is going on with your hair? Like, what's going on?
I had $10,000 worth of hair plugs, and I got the type that grow in 2 weeks.
They look awful.
They look awesome. I got highlights today, too.
13.
All right, coming in at number 13, we have Jimmy versus Jey Uso. Now, this is probably a shock to a lot of people, but if you watch the match, you understand where we're coming from. I think just it underdelivered, right, Nate?
Oh, I completely agree. It was not fun at all. I mean, my super kick bet was clearly correct.
It did go over 9.5 super kicks.
Clearly correct, so that was good. But, I mean, that's all the match was super kicks. They didn't really do much, it seemed like. It seemed like they didn't give them the time that they probably deserved. It just wasn't a good match on my part.
Tony, are you surprised that this match is this low on our list? Literally last?
Let me tell you something. The Usos was one of the matches I was looking forward to in the whole f***ing weekend, okay? These guys grew up together. These guys must have been in the ring 1,000 times. They know each other's moves. It was an abomination. I couldn't believe the Usos put on a show like this. It was the biggest letdown in WrestleMania history for me, because I was so hyped to watch this match, to watch the two brothers get it on. Where was the old man, Rikishi? He didn't show up. He didn't do nothing. And it was, what, 4 minutes to match? It was the shortest match of the card.
I agree. I think it was the shortest match of the card, and that's why I don't think they got the time that they definitely deserved.
I don't know, maybe Jimmy hit the sauce the night before. I don't know what it was, but it was definitely a letdown for me. They sucked!
They didn't even do that many high-flying moves, which is really what they're known for.
It was basically all super kicks. I think I wrote down a couple of the highlights, and it starts with Lil Wayne coming out and singing.
That was cool.
Jey Uso's entrance.
That was really cool.
So give him a little credit for that. But other than that, the best part of the match was when Jimmy was looking at Jey. No, don't hurt me. I'm so sorry. I'm a bad brother. And then he goads him in. He kicks him in the face. And you get the near fall after he hits the Uso splash.
Yeah, but, you know, Jey had a little sentimental moment there. Oh, my brother. But that match was a letdown, man. Do over.
Is it such a letdown because we overhyped it a little bit, maybe?
Absolutely. It was overhyped. But that was not the Usos, what I saw. That looked like two has-beens that just wanted, let's get this over with.
Has-beens is, that's...
Come on, Jimmy looks like a has-been. You see his stomach?
No.
He was out of shape.
Jimmy didn't look that bad.
I'm telling you, the night before, he was in a bar late. I'm telling you, I know it. I hope the footage comes out, but he was in a bar late. I know it.
The thing that concerns me about this match is, like you referred to, Tony, they've been wrestling their entire life. They should have had insane chemistry. And you look at Jey Uso, every single person he fights on Monday Night Raw in a one-on-one match, it's awesome, right? Am I wrong?
Jey is great.
They didn't have a single high-flying spot in this entire match.
They hit the Uso splashes, but that's it. And, well, Jey Uso jumped over the rope to start the match, the suicide dive.
Okay.
Is it possible they're saving this for a rematch maybe down the
maybe
road?
Maybe SummerSlam?
Rematch? You want to see that again?
I do, because it wasn't booked correctly, I don't think.
I got a feeling, like I said, something's wrong with Jimmy Uso. I don't think it was 100%. You know, there's something going on there, but the match was definitely the worst of WrestleMania.
I completely agree. It's disappointing, and we'll see where the Usos go from here. Maybe they fight again. Maybe they go their separate ways. But for now, unfortunately, they are 13th on our list. So with that being said, let's go ahead and move on to the number 12th ranked match at WrestleMania.
12.
Okay, so coming in at 12 is a match that three of us had ranked at the 10th best match, and one of us, myself, had ranked at the 12th best match, and that is the six-woman tag team match featuring Naomi, Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill against Damage Control's Dakota Kai. Tony, we will start with you. Why do you think this match ended up as low as it did on our rankings?
You have three giant women that overshadowed Damage Control. They were just much bigger, stronger athletes. You got to pick and choose where you're going to go. Number one, there's no belt on the line here.
No stakes.
It's Jade Cargill's first match in WWE besides the Royal Rumble she was in. Mm-hmm. So Naomi looked great. EST was great. It just was one of those matches where there's nothing on the line. It's a filler match. So, you know, it is what it is. It fell at number 12.
I've noticed something. You don't call her Bianca. You just call her EST. Is there a reason you just call her EST instead of Bianca?
Yeah, because I'm old and I forget a fucking name sometimes. That's why.
Okay. Because
I'm old and I forget things. That pops in my head, so it's easy. Bianca Belair. It's a fucking tongue twister. You know what I'm going to start doing? I did this when I was in high school. I'm going to put cheat notes on my hand. I got an 89 in my chemistry final because my hand was perfect with the cheat notes.
You have cheat notes right in front of you. I make a rundown every episode with everybody's name on it.
Yeah, but I got to go through. It's a lot of words. You're long-winded. You got these big, long paragraphs and everything else and big sentences. I just need little words. Bianca, Belair.
I will work on condensing the rundown, but we did accomplish a couple of things in this match. Jade did get her first WrestleMania win. It was a good opportunity to spotlight her. Like Tony just mentioned, the EST remains undefeated at WrestleMania, and overall, I think that this was just a fun match. Just because it's low on our list doesn't mean we didn't enjoy it or we didn't like it. At least me. I can't speak for
either one
of these.
One thing I did like about this match, the outfits were incredible.
The outfits were incredible.
And the entrance was incredible.
The entrance was incredible. Yeah. Good point.
But you know what? Unfortunately, someone's got to be 12.
Also, like, it is 12 on our list. But it was a solid match. There was a lot of good matches at WrestleMania. This would have been a good main event on a SmackDown or something, but it's Mania, and that's probably why it's low on our list.
What they should have did, a women's tag team match title, taking the Kabuki Warriors versus EST and Jade Cargill or EST and Naomi. That would have been more, I think there was something there on the line then.
This was a good way to get everybody on the card. And another thing, you go back to the timing with Jimmy and Jey Uso. This match also suffered from not having a lot of time too. So I think it was good for what it was. It's at 12, doesn't mean it was bad. I think the recurring theme throughout this episode is going to be that WrestleMania was just awesome.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of good matches. But for now, let's go ahead, let's leave this here, and let's talk about
11.
Yeah. We have LA Knight's first win at WrestleMania against the phenomenal AJ Styles, who debuted some pretty cool new music. And Nate, you're a big LA Knight guy, so I'm immediately going to pitch it on over to you. What do you think about this match being ranked 11th on our list?
So it's ranked low on our list. I ranked this kind of high. I mean, I ranked it as the 8th best match. And this wasn't a championship match. It was a regular one-on-one match. So it's not going to be in the top five or six. I'm sorry. It just doesn't have the stakes for it.
You're an LA Knight fan, but you're also a realist.
Yes, exactly.
And I respect that, Nate.
Thank you.
I'm surprised you didn't have it at one.
Okay, easy there, Tony, all right? Like he just said, I'm a realist.
That's your guy.
He is my guy.
That's why I'm surprised you put it at 8.
Put it higher. You put it at 12, which is ridiculous.
Nah, that's where it belongs.
It's not where it belongs. LA Knight,
AJ Styles. SmackDown
match. AJ Styles is one of the greatest of all time wrestling performer. He helped elevate LA Knight, I believe, after this match. I think he's going to be going, probably not for the main championship, but I do think there's a possibility, especially with a draft coming up, that he could maybe go after the Intercontinental Championship against Sami Zayn, or maybe go against Logan Paul for the United States Championship. He has a lot of opportunity now because he defeated a great AJ Styles, who, I'm not going to lie, looked really good. I was actually kind of surprised how good AJ Styles is. I love the match. Obviously, I am very biased because I love LA Knight. You ranked it at 10, which I was kind of surprised you ranked it a little high there.
I ranked it where I did because I talked about how I thought Knight peaked over at Crown Jewel when he lost to Roman Reigns, right? He's been spiraling ever since then. And now we can get the yeah movement back in effect.
Yeah.
We can move him, like you were just saying, towards a championship match. So I put it at 10 above three other matches because for that reason alone, I enjoyed it. You know, there were no special entrances. Like we said, like I said earlier, AJ Styles had some new music. I liked it. I think it fits his character a little bit more
definitely.
Now. You know, when his old music came out, they don't want none. They don't want none.
I love that music.
I do love that music too, but you don't want to love it because he's a heel.
Yeah.
So this new music, this new AJ Styles. He's the biggest loser from all of this. Despite the new music, he comes out, he's got this new persona. Now he's losing to LA Knight. He hasn't really done anything since returning, right?
No, and his contract's up this year too. So you got two guys not going up the pole, but coming down the pole. That's how I looked at it. I don't see AJ Styles doing anything special coming up down the road. His music was incredible. He wrestled great. It's AJ Styles. He's an all-time Hall of Famer. I just don't see him going anywhere right now. I think he's at the end of his career where he's going to be putting people over. So did he put LA Knight over? Yeah, but it's not
It's
not a Brock Lesnar putting you over.
LA Knight picking up one of the biggest wins of his career. AJ Styles, as we're saying, snowballing, putting people over. That's probably all he's going to do from now on, like you were saying. Let's talk about moments of the match we found enjoyable. Was there any one in particular? I personally found this match a little cookie cutter.
I remember the finale of it. Like, he reversed phenomenal form, and he reversed it into the BFT, which I thought was kind of cool, but...
Not really.
AJ springboards up. He jumps over LA Knight, lands.
Yeah.
LA Knight turns him around, BFT.
I mean, it was kind of cool. It was kind of interesting. Anything high-flying, I'm in. But like you said, it was kind of cookie cutter. I mean, but... I'm always going to be big on LA Knight. I think he's one of the biggest things in WWE right now. I still believe that, so yeah.
All right, Tony, give us the final word, and we'll move on.
Well, the final word on the match was, it was nothing special for me. I'm sorry.
10.
Coming in at number 10 was the six-man Philadelphia street fight. We're going to kick it on over to Tony because you had it ranked the highest out of all of us at 8. So this match must have exceeded your expectations.
Let me tell you. It exceeded my expectations. This match would have been a 12, possibly a 13, worse than the Usos. But Charlotte is incredible looking. I got 3 Scarlett posters. They're going to be here tomorrow. I couldn't get my eyes off of her. So when I did the rankings right away, it was 8. But the match itself, I've seen them fight how many times now?
They have fought a bunch.
Wait a minute. At least 10 times.
They have fought a bunch, but there were a couple of surprises in this match that helped it over-deliver, in my opinion. One being Bubba Ray Dudley got the tables as the special guest referee. And, Nate, we had Snoop Dogg on commentary.
Yeah, it was great. I enjoyed it. This was a fun match. We also had a kind of funny spot where the Pride was putting, I believe, Karrion Kross on a table, and the table broke.
Yeah.
So they had to go get another table. Uh-huh. The crowd was into
it. The crowd was great for this
chanting
match.
Chanting ECW, which was great. You know, it would have been nice to see D-Von.
Was that?
Yeah, that was great. I thought this was going to be the worst match of the weekend.
Me too. I thought this was going to be our 13.
There were a lot of good spots. The Street Profits are, you forget how great they are.
Montez Ford is a star.
He really is a star.
This feud, all of us will say, has been awful, and it's been dragging, and we've wanted it to be over for some time now, but they over-delivered and exceeded expectations with the lights the absolute brightest. And I've been on record saying I'm a big Karrion Kross guy, so... I think that this is an awesome spot for them at 10. It's a win for these guys.
I think it's a win for these guys, but where do they go from here now? I
hope this feud is over. This is going to be a constant theme on this episode, I think, that the draft is going to help shake up, you know, the direction of a lot of these guys.
And as long as Scarlett comes out with Karrion Kross, he'll always have a place in WWE.
9.
Coming in at number 9. Rey Mysterio and Andrade beat Dominic Mysterio and Santos Escobar in a tag team match that was all types of fun. Nate, we're going to start with you because you weren't digging the vibe. You had this ranked 12th.
Yeah, I did. I didn't think it was that great. First of all, the build towards the match, Rey was supposed to be with Dragon Lee. Then Dragon Lee got hurt.
A
bit thrown together, I agree. The one thing I was really looking forward to this match, and it's why it's low on my list, how does Carlito not turn heel? It was nice to get the Eagles out there. It was awesome to see Jason Kelsey. I'm a big Jason Kelsey fan. Watch his podcast. It's a great podcast. But it wasn't much. Like, they just like, we need to get Dominic and Ray on the card. Let's do this. Like, that's basically what it was. The match wasn't that great.
Oh, it was so fun. You had the entire LWL and Legado del Fantasma getting involved. You got the Joaquin Wilde springboard spot.
Yeah, great. But like, this is all stuff we've seen before already. It wasn't nothing new. The only good thing about this match, and it's why I put it at 11 and not 12.
No, you have it at 12.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's why I have it at 12. It would have been 13, but the Usos was terrible. It's because Kelsey and Lane Johnson came, and I thought that was a cool little spot.
Yeah, I agree with Nate Dogg. You know what? We've seen this match on SmackDown how many times, how many weeks in a row? It's like watching the same movie over and over and over. I didn't want to see this on a WrestleMania card. Maybe if I didn't see this on SmackDown for the last 5, 6, 10 weeks, yeah, it would have been more entertaining. But I knew what I was going to watch. Thank God Jason Kelsey and Lane Johnson came out in Philadelphia with the green luchadoris mask. That was great. That saved the match. But it did nothing for me because I've seen it before.
I do think that it was a really fun callback to the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl party.
You mean the Eagles?
No, the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl party. And he was partying with them after they won.
Oh, yeah.
And he had the Lucha Libre mask on. I don't know if I'm the only one who thought of that immediately.
Well, you had it at 9.
I'm a big fan of Lucha Libre wrestling. And I think that you had three of the greatest when it comes to that. When it comes to that style of wrestling, Rey Mysterio, Andrade, Santos Escobar. And Dominic Mysterio is no slouch in himself. He's becoming a tremendous in-ring worker. So from start to finish, it was crisp. It was fluid. You had, the Eagles come into play. And, Joaquin Wilder went 500 feet in the air.
But we see that.
I understand.
I've seen that 5 times in the last 5 weeks.
We haven't seen this variation.
Joaquin Wilder fly like that off the ropes. I've seen Ray. I've seen his son. I've seen Escobar. I've seen Carlito. Well, I've seen everybody do the same thing. It was nothing special.
I want to get your thoughts on this, Tony. If Carlito turned heel during that match, do you think you would have had to rank it much higher?
I would have ranked it a little bit higher. But overall, I knew what to expect. I knew what the moves were. I knew what was happening. I've seen that Joaquin Phoenix get launched like 3 times like that.
Joaquin Phoenix.
Joaquin Phoenix was the Joker, wasn't he?
Yeah.
You said Joaquin Phoenix, I'm pretty sure.
Joaquin Phoenix.
Joaquin Wilde.
I've seen him get launched 3 times already like that. So it was nothing special. You know, but I did notice when Kelsey came in the ring, one jump, he grabbed a rope over the top rope.
Yeah,
he went.
That was cool.
Does that man have a future in WWE
down
the road? That could be the main take from this, that Jason Kelsey will be in WWE down the road.
Now, how amazing would it be if Travis joins him in the ring and the Kelseys are a tag team?
That would be incredible, all right? And they need to win the tag titles in Arrowhead at WrestleMania.
Against the Paul brothers.
I love it. I love it. Book it now, Triple H. All right. I need Jason Kelsey in WWE. You are right. He is going to be a star in WWE if he comes in. So, Jason, if you're watching, please get in the ring and do something cool.
All right. Let's finish up with this segment, talk a little bit more of the match, and specifically Dominic Mysterio. This is the second consecutive year. He's now lost to his father on the grandest stage of them all, Rey Mysterio. 50 plus years old, Dominic Mysterio, 27, up and coming. I think at some point, Dominic has to go over Rey, right?
You would think so, but like WWE, they love Rey. It would be very hard to see. Maybe they're waiting for his retirement match.
I think that's what it is, and I'm calling it right now. Next year, WrestleMania 41, Dominic Mysterio will retire his dad, Rey Mysterio. You heard it here first. What's today's date? It is
April 8th.
See, I disagree with that. The old man Mysterio does not want to retire with his son pinning him. What's going to happen is Dom is going to come home, and they're going to figure it out, and the old man's going to retire the tag team champion with his
son.
No
chance.
That's my call.
Dom's too good a heel.
8.
Rhea Ripley retaining the Women's World Championship against Becky Lynch. Now, guys, we all agreed on this one. We all had her at 7, but Tiny Mike, he put this match last. He had this as the worst match at WrestleMania, and because of that, this moves from 7 to 8, so not a big jump for it, but Nate, you got a bone to pick with Tiny Mike.
I got a real bone to pick. Listen, Tiny Mike, I understand if you didn't like the match. To say that this is the worst match of WrestleMania, like, come on, dude. You're at school avoiding this take, so come here and be a man and tell me why it's at 13, because that makes zero sense. I'm done with you, man. I'm done.
It definitely wasn't the worst match of the night, so his rating was low. But we all had it at 7, so we didn't have it way elevated either.
Right in the middle.
Let me tell you
something.
Right
in the middle, sweet
spot. Let me tell you something. Becky Lynch, future Hall of Famer, one of the best female wrestlers WWE has ever had. Let's call it like it is, boys. She's lost a step. Let me finish. She's not big and powerful like Rhea. She's not EST, big and strong and quick. Jade Cargill. These women that are in wrestling today mammoth her. She is, like I said, Hall of Famer. Definitely took the women's division to where it is today. Not going to take anything away from Becky Lynch. But she's not in the same league. She is the Kevin Durant of WWE right now.
The game has passed her by?
You know, you got to give Becky a little kudos. She had strep throat. She had 102 fever. She was battling. She wasn't 100%. So, you know, she's toughed it out. But if you look at Becky, think about what she's done and how she's coming into this match. She wasn't at the height of her career. Go back 2 years ago. 2 years ago. If this match was 2 years ago, Becky Lynch would have won versus Rhea Ripley. Not today. I'm sorry. I'm calling it like it is. Becky lost a little bit off her fastball. She's not the same. Hall of Famer, great. Took the women's division to where it is. But she's the Kevin Durant of WWE women's wrestling.
I kind of disagree with that. I think.
But it's a fact.
Becky Lynch is definitely on the back end, you could call it the back nine of her career. And this could have been like a passing of the torch moment, maybe.
I'm not disagreeing that it could be a passing of the torch moment. I'm not disagreeing with anything that he said. But all I'm saying is I feel like you're underestimating Becky Lynch. She's been doing this her entire career, and she has elevated herself to being one of the best women's wrestler without being the strongest, without being the fastest, without being the quickest. She's done all that. So with what I agree with all you're saying, but I don't believe that. I think she's going to go away on a hiatus for a little bit. She'll come back, and she's going to be, again, in the main event spotlight and a champion in WWE again.
I think you guys both make great points, and I understand where both of you are coming from. So let's go ahead. Let's save the whether or not Becky Lynch has still got it conversation for another time. We'll do a whole nother podcast on that. Okay?
I love it.
Let's go back to the match, though. Let's talk about some of the highlights of that match. We can start with the entrances. Becky Lynch, she came out. She narrated her book, and she had a bit of an AR screen. Rhea Ripley had a live music performance by Motionless.
I got him to interrupt, Mark. Rhea Ripley's entrance was the worst of the card, I thought.
Guy scared the crap out of me.
I didn't like it. Yeah, when she came out, she was like the devil. The guy that was singing was like, it looked like a brother. Was that a brother?
No, but if you told me that was her brother, I'd be like, huh.
I did not like the darkness. It was too dark for me. I didn't like it. I didn't like the entrance.
Was it you or him that said that looked like Rhea Ripley?
That was me. That was the brother.
The funny thing you said that is I went on social media. I went on social media. A lot of people were saying that it looked exactly.
That's
like
why
Rhea
I
Ripley.
Said, was that her brother?
They're just into, you know, grunge metal music.
Yeah, but that was a little more over the top for Rhea than she usually is. She's over the top, but that was really over the top.
One other thing I wanted to talk about this match. It kicked off WrestleMania weekend. This was the first match, WrestleMania Saturday. What do we think about these two women, these two performers getting that spotlight? Do you think it was the right decision to put them here?
It could have main evented one of the nights. Because you had The Rock and because you had Cody again, it wasn't. It wasn't going to get the main event spotlight, so why not give it the spotlight it deserves with leading it off of WrestleMania? Everyone's excited for WrestleMania and everything, and you start with this match. So even though the match didn't, you know, reach its expectation on my level, I still think it was the right move putting them first.
And it was a solid match, too. It was from bell to bell. It was competitive. It was methodical. It ramped up as it got going. I just think, you know, we've said it a bunch on the show already. WrestleMania was a great show. There were a lot of great matches. So, unfortunately, this comes in at 8 on our list. But we're moving on. So, coming in at number 7.
7.
The United States Championship match that saw Logan Paul defend his championship against Kevin Owens and Randy Orton successfully. Nate, we're going to actually start with you. Tony, you had this match ranked the lowest, but anybody who watches our TikToks knows that Nathan hates Logan Paul. So what were your thoughts and impressions of his performance and him retaining the title over your boy KO?
Okay, so I was, you know, I obviously was not rooting for Logan Paul, but I am a realist when it comes to WWE stuff, and I see it. I knew he was winning. I was very upset. But what I am looking forward to is and hoping for is that we get a tag team with Randy Orton and KO. Because them teaming up during this match was great. The chemistry between them is incredible. I loved every minute of this match, not because of Logan Paul, because of all three of them. They all three were great in the ring. The guy in the stupid prime bottle was ridiculous. We all thought it was KSI. It was some damn YouTuber. It is what it is. Logan Paul, he's great in WWE, whatever.
By your calculation, you know, he's at, what, like 153 days, so you round up, that's 200 for you. Give it 2 weeks, that'll be 300 days. When he gets to that mark, will he be the greatest United States champion?
No, he won't. He won't, okay? There's still a lot of great United States champions, okay? I do think that Logan Paul is a great thing for WWE.
That's mature of you. I'm proud of you for taking that step
forward.
But
he still sucks. And, you know, he needs to come to work every day like every other American. Logan Paul, listen, you are a great wrestler.
Choking.
You are a great wrestler.
He's passionate,
you do amazing things for WWE. You bring the U.S. Belt to UFC events. All great things. All I ask is you do what the common American does and goes to work, okay? Just go to work. You're getting paid millions and millions of dollars. All I ask for you is to show up. Is that so hard to ask, Logan Paul? Is it? Just come in to work. That's all I ask.
Well said, Nathan. And shockingly, Nathan didn't have that match ranked lowest on our list. Tony, that was you at 6. So not that that's a bad spot, but let's just get your general impressions of the match. Like I think Nathan referred to, showed up. Randy Orton RKO'd him. Another cool spot was Logan Paul hit Orton with the brass knuckles and Orton kicked out. First time anyone's ever done
that.
And
he took the brass knuckles and he didn't use them on Logan. He handed them back to the referee. He didn't want to win that way. He's a YouTuber. He's one of Logan Paul's buddies. Wouldn't it have been great when he opened up the mask and he was jawing at Randy Orton if he would have punched him right in his face?
He was barking at him, too.
He pushed him. He knocked him down. He hit him in the stomach. I want him to punch him in the face.
Zyshow is like 115 pounds soaking wet.
He's a little nutty.
He flew off of his leg.
I know. It was awesome what Randy did to him.
He was also like barking, like literally barking like I do, barking at Randy. And then when Randy was about to RKO him, he was like, and just RKO'd him. It was great. Randy is incredible, dude. Like, he is something else. It's why I hope him and KO become a tag team and go after those tag team belts, because I think RK-Bro was incredible. RKO can be even better.
It can be. And I like that take. Going back to this match, I think bell to bell, entertaining. All three of these guys.
Yeah.
Nathan, you touched on it. So much chemistry.
Yeah.
The pop-up powerbomb or the pop-up into the RKO is great. Logan has an incredible frog splash. So great match. Logan Paul, Rhea Ripley, the only two champions who brought their titles into WrestleMania who were able to leave with them. Kind of shows that WWE is probably positioning them for big runs this year, maybe into the future. So, hey, here's hoping we get a lot more of Logan Paul. And just in case, one more time, what should Logan do, Nate?
Go to work like every common American.
6.
Coming in at number 6 is the match our panel was the most conflicted on. Michael had this match at 1. I had it at 4. Tony and Nate had it in the bottom half, I think 9 and 9 or 9 and 8 respectively. Bayley versus Io Sky. Bayley beat Sky, became the WWE Women's Champion, defeated her protege, and Nate, we'll kick it over to you. You look like you have something you want to say.
Yeah, so first of all, Tiny Mike, again, I don't know what you're doing with this list. I mean, to rank this 1, I mean, maybe okay, I can understand maybe if you wanted to do top 4, but the best match at Mania, you're completely wrong about that. I don't care if it's your opinion, you're completely wrong. The reason this was so low for me was the whole storyline was Bayley didn't have the numbers. Bayley was not going to be able to overcome this and everything. And nobody interfered in the match. Damage control was nowhere to be seen. They came down with Io Sky, and then they just weren't there. But it was nice to see her have a championship again. It's been a while for her. So, but all in all, I didn't think it was that great of a match. I don't know what Mike was seeing.
Well, as somebody who had it ranked 4, I'll tell you what I was seeing, and you alluded to it. This was a one-on-one match, no interference. I love that. I love clean wrestling. Bayley was the better wrestler, and she is the champion because of that. Triple H, in his mind, he's like, screw it. Let's have these two women tear the house down, just them, and that's what they did. I loved it. I understand why Mike has it at 1.
It was nice to see her get the W. It was nice that they got the belt on her. I'm very happy about it, but I was a little disappointed that we didn't see the Kabuki Warriors. We didn't see that outside interference, that, you know, Bayley against the world. So we needed that.
And I think that's where the difference in opinion comes into play. Tony and Nate, they wanted the numbers there. They wanted it to be beefier. Tiny Mike and I, we were happy with the one-on-one match. So with that being said, I think it was the right decision for Bayley to win. I'm excited to see where her championship reign goes. And if that's with a rematch with Io Sky, take my money.
I didn't even think the match itself was that great. What big spots? What made you put this for?
My favorite spot was one of the most unique spots I've seen. Bayley was going for, I forget what the name of the move is. I think it's called like a rose plant where she takes like her opponent's
head. A rosebud or something like that?
Something like that. And she plants it into the match. And Io Sky, she seamlessly reversed it. It looked as if Bayley had hit the move, but then she like somersaulted on her head. She looked up at the crowd. Everybody was going crazy. And I was like, wow, that's just insane. And I'm a big sucker for a moonsault. Io hit a bunch of moonsaults. And I like Bayley. She came out in a cool Egyptian attire. I was like,
walk like an Egyptian. You ever see that song? Walk like an Egyptian.
I didn't, like, I looked it up. Bayley's not Egyptian. So I don't know what they were going for, but I liked it. I was into it.
Five.
The six-pack ladder match for the Undisputed Tag Team Championships, or formerly Undisputed Tag Team Championships, because now those titles have been split. Over on SmackDown, A-Town Down, consisting of Grayson Waller and Austin Theory, walked away with the gold. And over on Raw, the Awesome Truth are champions.
What's up?
And R-Truth has got his WrestleMania moment. Nate, we're going to start with you because Nathan had this match ranked number one. Best match in WrestleMania, according to Nathan Rothstein. Tell me why.
Oh, I mean, it had everything. It had excitement. It had shock value. It had all this great stuff that you want in a WrestleMania match. The first thing you got to go off is R-Truth. It's hysterical, okay? And I am a big comedy guy. And if you get me to laugh during the match, like, you're doing a great job. The hot tag, oh, was hysterical. R-Truth is just out there trying to get the tag from Miz, and it's a ladder match. He's just like, tag me in! Tag me in! And then he tags him in, and then he does his John Cena stuff. You get the AA. He pinned Priest.
Yeah, he pinned him.
The one, two, three.
Was it Priest? Crazy. I'm not sure if it was Priest or not.
It was one of Judgment Day.
So, like, R-Truth won twice in that match.
Yeah, so it was great to see that. I also love the spot when A-Town Down won the championship.
Yes.
And then
yes.
I can't remember who it was.
New Catch Republic,
yes. Threw him through the ladder, and like Grayson Waller was dead. Like after that, everyone showed what they got. Elevated the tag team division a little bit more also. R-Truth also getting that WrestleMania moment. This guy's 53, okay? He's been with the company for like 100 years. Never had a WrestleMania moment. Never had a WrestleMania win.
Yeah.
And for him to get that, that meant a lot to me. So that's why I had it at number one.
I had it at five. I like the fact that R-Truth and The Miz won a title. What I didn't like in this match, why I couldn't even get close to a one, is that Finn Balor and Damian Priest were obsolete in this match for 80% of the time. I did not see them. So if you're going to take two titles, not one, but two titles off of these guys, and they're not involved in the match, that's why I didn't, you know, I took a little backseat. Entertaining match. I'm happy about Austin Theory and Grayson Waller winning the title, R-Truth and The Miz winning the title, but I would have liked to seen the champions be a little more involved in this match than they were.
Well, I think it was because we found out the next night Damian Priest was cashing in his money in the bank. So I think what and I think you alluded to this, is you kind of want to forget about Damian Priest and how he has the money in the bank. So when the next night he cashed in, you're like, oh my God, yeah, he has the money in the bank briefcase. He's going to be our world champion. I think that's the reason they did that.
I just wish Damian Priest and Finn Balor were more involved in that match.
Tiny Mike and I both had this ranked at eight, not because I didn't like the match, but because, going back to what I've been saying this entire episode, there were other matches I just liked more. There was one spot that kind of threw me off. The Miz and Damian Priest were battling on a ladder, and it was obviously a really shitty ladder, and it was just such an awkward moment. The official was grabbing Damian Priest, yeah, and she was like, you got to watch out for that, and then like they end up having a bad botch, and moments like that completely take me out of the match. So we disagree there, but overall we agree, good match, and we can definitely agree on this. Thank God those tag teams have been split.
Yeah, it's about freaking time.
Four.
All right, coming in at number four was the shock of the century and what I am going to call the biggest upset in WrestleMania history. Sami Zayn defeated Gunther, his historic Intercontinental Championship reign of 666 days, it's a creepy number, is over. And we are immediately going to go to Tony because we put out a clip last week where he said it didn't matter if Gunther came in with a broken leg. It didn't matter if he had an arm. It didn't matter if he didn't have an eye. There was no way in the world Gunther was losing this match.
Do you believe in miracles? Yeah!
That's what happened. I was totally wrong on this. I did not see this happening. Gunther must have begged, please, I want to go on vacation. Please, I want to spend time with my family. Because Sami Zayn is the last guy, after going 6-50 in the last 7 months, I've watched Sami Zayn get his ass kicked by Drew 12 times. I watched him take pin after pin after pin. For him to beat Gunther was the shock, like Mark said. That was the shock, the upset, the biggest upset in the history of WrestleMania. And I absolutely was wrong with that take. So I didn't see that coming. I still don't believe that Sami Zayn is the champ. I guess there's going to be a title going around. There's going to be wrestlers lined up going around the building that have beaten him three times in the last year that are going to want to take a shot at him. So do I see him holding the title long? I hope not, but who knows? I was wrong with that call. Absolutely. I would have lost a fortune if I bet on that.
That's the big reason, actually, why I don't have it in the top five, is because I feel like the match was pretty much built around the shock value. And not to say that there's anything wrong with that. I think it was a great match. I think it was a great moment. But I think it wasn't as good of a match as we remember because of how shocking it was at the end.
No, but that's why it should have been higher. And that's why I put it at four.
I have it at six. It's not like
I have it. Okay, but I'm saying that's why I had it at four. If Gunther wins this match, I don't make that the fourth match. No way.
I was trying to be, okay, let's take the shock out of the
equation. But you can't, though. That's part of the match, though.
Hey, it's not like I have it at 13. I got it at 6. I do love the fact that because this was in Philadelphia, Sami Zayn did get the Rocky rub to a degree. He's the big underdog, and it's the big upset, and I see the parallels between them.
Yeah, I guess so. Rocky was a gym rat. He fought nobody. He fought bums. He lost a lot of fights like Sami Zayn. I don't know. He's no Rocky Balboa to me.
Great match all around. I had it the lowest. Still think very highly of the match. Sami Zayn now, what does he do next as Intercontinental Champion? Maybe Chad Gable, he fights him. With Gunther, he's probably heading towards the world title scene. So we'll take a look at that, and we'll talk about all that when it becomes prominent. But for now, we are going to our top three, baby.
Yeah, baby.
Three.
Coming in at number three was the chaos that started night two of WrestleMania when Seth Rollins lost the World Heavyweight Championship to Drew McIntyre. McIntyre finally got his moment in front of a live audience, and it only lasted for 5 minutes because then Damian Priest came down and cashed in his Money in the Bank, courtesy of a little beatdown from CM Punk to McIntyre. So the three men in this room, we had this as a top three match. Tiny Mike, once again, was the difference. He had this match ranked what?
Seven.
So
you're ridiculous.
Tony, this is your son. This is your blood. How can you justify him having this match ranked so low?
You can't. He's got his opinion. You know, everybody's got their right for their opinions.
But
he's way off on this.
That's why he's the father. Go ahead.
He's way off on this. He's way off on this. You have Seth Rollins, a wounded wrestler, a wounded guy. He fights the night before. His knee is jammed up. His leg is jammed up. He's still not 100% from his injuries. And you have Drew McIntyre, who wants to finish his own story, who has to defend his title for this Scotsman, for his mother. You know, his mother's dead.
Oh, I was waiting for that. I was waiting for it.
Mother's dead. You got to remember that. That's important.
Guys, you got to remember, Drew's mom is dead.
You know, I wanted Drew to have his time. I wanted him to be the champ. So I didn't really like the twist where Damian came and cashed in, but I got to be honest, looking back after the match the second time, fantastic match. The way they booked it, WWE, kudos. Did the right job. CM Punk got involved. He's the reason why Drew lost. Damian cashes in. So, you know, that was a WrestleMania match. I still wish Drew would be the champ, but I think he's going to get a shot against Damian Priest down the road.
The entrances were spectacular.
For both, yeah.
Yeah, for both. Seth Rollins came down with 50 people just singing his song and dancing, and the coolest entrance of WrestleMania 40 was the Scotsman, Drew McIntyre, walking through about 50 Scottish warriors, every one of which would drop their sword behind him as he passed by. It was visually stunning. And the match itself, bell to bell, a just slugfest. Claymore right away.
Yeah.
Seth Rollins started the match.
Seth Rollins took three or four Claymores.
Seth Rollins, the fighting champ, injured. Drew McIntyre wanted that title. He got the title. And then it gets taken away because CM Punk interferes and Damian Priest comes out. So it's definitely a top match.
Seth got a hero's death. He did everything he did. He fought to the bitter end. Drew got his moment. Damian got his moment. CM Punk got a moment getting to upstage Drew McIntyre. So overall, perfection. I have nothing to say other than praise for this match. And I would like to end this little section of our show saying Seth Rollins, what an inaugural World Heavyweight Champion he was, went down to the bitter end fighting. Seth, thank you for everything that you have done for that title. Thank you for everything you have done to WWE. And I hope to see you bigger, better, stronger than ever whenever you are ready to fight again.
Well, you think about Seth Rollins, too. Remember, he wasn't going to be part of WrestleMania when he got hurt. The guy was a fighting champion week after week. He didn't have to take on and be in the match with Cody and the night before. You got to remember that, too. He fought the night before in a match against Roman Reigns and The Rock. So how much did that take out of him? So, you know, kudos for Seth Rollins. He's one of the best people in WWE. And, you know, going forward, I hope they sign him. Because if they don't, they're making a huge mistake.
Two.
We have arguably one of the biggest WrestleMania main events in history, where we saw Cody Rhodes finish his story and dethrone the historic title reign of Roman Reigns. 1,300 days, 3.5 years, countless competitors stacked, conquered. It's over. The story is done. Cody Rhodes has fulfilled his family's legacy by winning the title his father never could. In what was an emotional match that parodied Endgame, Avengers Endgame almost, we saw Cody Rhodes with his side. You had Jey Uso, Seth Rollins, John Cena showed up, made an appearance, and even The Undertaker appeared from out of nowhere to fight the entire bloodline. The Rock, Solo Sikoa, Jimmy Uso, and of course Roman Reigns. It was a battle for the century. And Nate, we're going to start with you because you have this match ranked at 6. It is the only reason this isn't the number one match on our list. So if you have a problem with this ranking, blame Nate Dogg, not me, not Tony the Father, Tiny Mike.
I'm waiting for it. Come at me, guys.
Nathan,
come at me.
Why did you have this so low?
Because it was just a little too much, I thought, of Cody kicking out of all these great moves. It was a little much for me. Also, the Undertaker coming out made zero sense. All right, you had Jimmy come out first, and then Jey come out to help him. That made sense. Then you had Solo Sikoa come out, okay? And he destroyed Cody. And then Cody still kicked out. And then you had John Cena come out, which made sense because Solo, before Cena left, was the last person to take him out.
Not to mention Cena's countless issues with the bloodline.
Yeah, exactly. And that. And then The Rock came out. And this was the spot where Stone Cold was supposed to come. And if it was actually Stone Cold, this probably would have been one for me. But then The Undertaker comes out. Now, don't get me wrong. Seeing The Undertaker, always great. It just made zero sense. To me, at least. All right? He had nothing to do with the bloodline. He has really nothing to do with The Rock. Okay? Why is he coming? Because he is the man of WrestleMania because he had an undefeated streak? Because Roman Reigns won when he was old and couldn't really wrestle anymore? Defeated him at WrestleMania. Like, it made zero sense to me, and that is why I put it so low.
It's Cody Rhodes finishing his story for 2 years. How do you put this at number 6?
Yeah.
When you got a ladder match at number 1?
Yeah.
You're disrespecting the ladder.
No. This is Roman Reigns. He hasn't lost in almost 1,400 days. He's fighting Cody Rhodes. For the last 3 months, this is the biggest thing in wrestling on TV with The Rock involved and stuff. This match was incredible. It had everything you wanted. I didn't love The Undertaker. I'm not going to lie about that. But if you just take Taker out for that one thing with The Rock, the match was incredible. You got Cody Rhodes finishing his story for his father in heaven, for Mama Rhodes. You got Roman Reigns, 1,400 days, finally losing the title, the head of the bloodline, untouchable. He was like John Gotti back in the day, the Teflon Don. You couldn't do nothing. Nothing stick to him. He always found the way to get out of it. And he loses that title, man. So I thought it was incredible. Triple H, fantastic job. Great book. I love it.
But you didn't think it was a little predictable? That's also something that I didn't like. I felt a little predictable to me.
It was predictable in the sense that you knew a bunch of people were going to come up, but you didn't really know Cena was going to be there, and you really definitely didn't know that The Undertaker was going to be there. So for as predictable as you're making it out to be, it still had a whole bunch of surprises. And to Tony's point, this was an extravaganza, the biggest match that you could have possibly had in this moment, and it's such a way to cap off an era. Throughout the entire night, the broadcast podcast was referring to this as the beginning of the Triple H era. And it really felt like when Cody Rhodes pinned Roman Reigns, this is the beginning of what WWE is going to be for the next 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. And it's going to be led by Cody Rhodes. And Nathan, going back to your point about The Undertaker, I 100% agree. I was up till 2 a.m. making a video about it, in which I got slaughtered online. If you'd like to go and see it, check us out at It's Real to Us on TikTok, Instagram, and X. It's very funny. I'm getting roasted in the comments. Everybody's calling me an idiot. But you mentioned, you know, Roman Reigns losing to The Undertaker or beating The Undertaker at WrestleMania. A lot of people are pointing to the fact that The Rock has been calling himself the final boss. He does what he wants because he's in charge. The Undertaker has always been the ceremonial final boss of WrestleMania. So, you know, is it the most logical decision to have The Undertaker
Stupid.
Show up?
I'm sorry.
No. And was it overbooked a little bit? Yes, but if you're ever going to overbook a match, why not let it be the main event of WrestleMania? So because of that, this was my number one match. The emotion that went into it, both for Cody and for Roman, because I was so excited for Cody to win, but I was also so sad to see Roman lose.
You also forgot to mention a person. We also saw the Shield's Seth Rollins when we both looked at each other. We're like, is it possible John Moxley is here?
Exactly.
Like, that was cool. But also, that moment, it was stupid. Seth came, he got a super punch, and he was gone. Like,
yeah, but he
it was so ridiculous.
No, it wasn't ridiculous because do you remember when Seth Rollins turned on Roman Reigns when they were in the Shield?
Yes.
He smashed him with the chair. So Roman decided not to take out Cody with the chair. He took out Seth. And that cost him the title. By instead of focusing on Cody, he was still angry from back in the day with Seth Rollins, what he did. So he took out Seth with the chair. Everything had a purpose there. It had a meaning. At the end of the day, I thought everything was fantastic the way that match went down. Happy Cody got it. A little sad, like the Mark said, that Roman is no longer champ. But you know what? I got a feeling the Usos is going to be back bigger and stronger when he resurfaces. So. Oh, wait a minute. I just got a text over here. Tiny Mike says, what the hell's wrong with Nathan? It's sixth. What is he out of his mind?
So Cody Rhodes has finished his story. From undesirable as Stardust to undeniable as the leader of AEW, you can now call him the undisputed WWE Universal Champion. So hats off to Cody Rhodes. Very happy for him. But I am a Roman Reigns guy, and I am so proud of the performer that he has come from being booed as the big dog to being the greatest of all time. 9 main events of WrestleMania proves it. 1,300 days over plus proves it. And I want to end this part of the segment by acknowledging Roman Reigns, his amazing championship run, and I hope that we just see him again in the future. Throw those ones in the sky! All the way.
I acknowledge my tribal chief.
I acknowledge my tribal chief, Roman Reigns.
I have to acknowledge
him. You have to acknowledge
have to.
Him.
Tell me the last time he won a clean match.
He doesn't win clean matches.
So why should I acknowledge him? Because he wins matches unfairly?
He wants to acknowledge a ladder match. Acknowledge the ladder match.
I'll acknowledge the ladder match.
No, all right, what if I phrase it like this, okay?
Okay.
Can you acknowledge him for me? Put that one in the sky, Nathan. Put that one in the sky. Higher up. Get that shoulder muscle moving. Tony, let's all do it at once. I need a shot. This is how we're starting the episode. Nathan in the air.
My tribal chief.
No. Come on.
Roman Reigns.
We're not doing. I love that, Tony. We're not. Get it up.
There you go. That's as high as I'll go.
One.
Coming in at number one was the biggest WrestleMania tag team match of all time, whether Nathan likes to admit that that's what this is or not. Roman Reigns and The Rock defeated Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins in a physical and personal match. So, Tony, we're going to start with you. Is this match deserving to be number one over Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns?
Absolutely. And the reason why is because going into this match, nobody had any opinion on who could possibly win, on who would pin who, on how it would end. You had no doubt in your mind. There was no doubt in my mind how it could happen. So I think without a doubt, this is the number one match. And I didn't guess The Rock was going to pin Cody? No way. So it was a total out spot.
Nathan
someone
did.
Someone did.
You predicted that?
I predicted that The Rock would defeat Cody, would be Bloodline Rules, and then Cody would win the next night. Starting a feud kind of with The Rock, I thought the match was really good. I think what we need to talk about is how well The Rock looked, man.
He looked incredible.
I was really surprised how well he looked.
When he first came back, when he was with Jinder Mahal, you remember that? I remember when he's fighting Jinder Mahal.
Yeah.
He couldn't fucking breathe or catch his breath. So he really got himself in shape. He's going to take a little bit of a break, and then he's going to come back. And I can see him and Cody fighting down the road.
But there was something that I really didn't like was that this was, like, booked as a regular tag team match, you know, no stipulation or anything. And basically, this was a no DQ match. They were fighting everywhere. The ref was counting to try to count Rock out, and the Rock basically said, shut the F up. I'm the boss.
Thank you, Nate, for keeping me safe.
You do not count, okay? Or you're going to be fired. And I'm like, why do we have to do that? Like, I understand he's on the board. He's the final boss, whatever. Why not just make it a no DQ match?
Yeah, but you got to realize The Rock is special. He is on the board of Endeavor. He is the final boss. So it's going to be a little different than a regular tag team match. So I like that when he got into the referee's face and say, listen, pal, you'll get fired. I'm your boss. That was funny. I was laughing. And the referee got scared. He backed off. He's like, okay, I'm sorry.
I'm honestly surprised we haven't gotten memes out of that yet. That was an all-time moment. And Nate, going back to your original point, I think The Rock looked incredible. And it's nice seeing how passionate he still is about wrestling. And I hope that this leads to a lot more of The Rock going forward. I know, Tony, you just mentioned that he's going to be away. But Nathan, like you predicted, he pinned Cody Rhodes. Mm-hmm. We need that match. Mama Rhodes is going to be in the front row. And Cody Rhodes is going to defend the WWE title against The Rock. It's going to happen.
We definitely are going to get Cody versus The Rock. That's definitely happening. We just don't know when. And we're getting that because of the result of this match.
And there's a lot of things we don't know moving forward. Will Roman Reigns be back?
Did you see what Triple H came out today and said about Roman Reigns? He said that Roman Reigns will be back in a new gimmick, and it's going to be fantastic, better than the Bloodline.
That's great.
He's already said it today, Triple H. It was online. I read it earlier.
I love that. I'm excited for that, and I'm excited for this Triple H era because it seems as if we don't know exactly where we're going to go next, but with the talent the WWE roster has and Triple H at the helm, I am excited. So if this is the first WrestleMania of the Triple H era, I am so in for 41, 42, 43, and beyond. So what did you think about WrestleMania? That was our rankings, 13-1, 1-13, however you want to look at it. Why don't you go ahead, comment, let us know how you would have ranked the matches. Let us know if you agree with us. Let us know if you don't agree with us. I know Nathan's going to have so many supporters when it comes to Logan Paul and the ladder match. Make sure your voices are heard. Remember, you can find us on X, Instagram, and TikTok at It's Real to Us. Over on YouTube, we are at It's Real to Us 1. Guys, thank you for being here. Thank you for watching WrestleMania. We got to end with something kind of funny.
We got softball this weekend.
Oh, yeah. I'm so tight.
Oh, yeah.
My legs are so tight.
I'm going to be 62. I'm out there throwing batting practice. I can't even bend over. I was in Walmart. I dropped my keys on the floor. I couldn't bend over to pick them up.
I'm going to get you this. One of those. I just saw they brought the advertisements back online. I've fallen and I can't get up. The little clicker, and then you'll be safe no matter what. You fall.
Oh, what if I've dropped my keys and I can't get them? Will they come help me then?
Might. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. And we will see you next time on It's Real to Us, the wrestling podcast. Bang, bang!
Logan, get to work, please, for the common man.